Half a day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Mark Herbster. It was presented in a chapel service in September of 2007. The title of the message, Four Marks of a Good Soldier.
We're looking this morning at the book of 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy is the final book that Paul ever wrote. This man named Saul, who was persecuting Christians, who literally stood and held the coats of those who martyred the first martyr, Stephen. He was holding the coats of those who stoned Stephen. This man who was persecuting Christians and now has been converted. On the road to Damascus, he met Jesus Christ and he said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" And we all understand that Paul is probably one of the most incredible Christians ever to live on this planet. He has given for us over half of the New Testament, an incredible preacher of the Word of God. Listen, don't ever tell me that God can't save you. Don't tell me God can't save anyone. Paul literally was trying to kill Christians and God radically transformed his life. There are some young people in this room and maybe you have this idea, well, I've done so many bad things. I am so wicked. People don't even know how wicked I am. God surely could never save me. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever killed anybody? Paul was actually going around trying to murder Christians, and if God can save Paul, he can save you. And God took this man who was persecuting Christians and turned him into a preacher to Christians, and he's given to us many of the books of the New Testament, and the final book that Paul wrote is the book of 2 Timothy. Paul is once again writing this book from prison. I've heard it said that Paul, when he would go to a town, he wouldn't look for the nicest motel. He'd look for the nicest prison because he knew he'd be there anyways. Seemed like everywhere Paul went, he was being thrown into prison. We have books like Philippi and books like Philippians where he wrote from jail and all kinds of prison epistles, and this is one of them. Most Bible scholars believe he was probably in a prison in Rome under the cruel dictator rulership of a man named Nero, who was the emperor at the time. And at the end of the book of 2 Timothy, Paul was martyred. Paul was beheaded for the cause of Jesus Christ. He said at the end of this book, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there are laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto him also who loves his appearing." Paul had an eternal picture. And he realized that this life was temporary. He even said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And so the Apostle Paul is writing this book of the Bible in his final hour. He's ready to depart. It's his last charge to a specific individual. What do you think the name of the individual is that Paul is writing to? What's his name? His name is Timothy. That is not hard to figure out. We have two books of the Bible, 1st and 2nd Timothy, two books that are written to this young man named Timothy. You say, "Brother Mark, who was Timothy?" Well, Paul passed through Timothy's town, the town of Lystra. In Acts chapter 16, it says Paul came into his village, probably came there several times on his missionary journeys, and Timothy was a teenager. Isn't that amazing that Paul came into his church, Paul came to his village, and Paul was so impressed with the spiritual maturity of a teenager that he said, "I want that guy to travel with me. There's the next preacher. There's the next person that's going to serve me." You got to understand, Paul had a lot of people travel with him. He had Silas, he had Barnabas, he had John Mark. But I believe personally the Bible proves that Timothy was his beloved servant, his beloved son in the faith. And Timothy had a godly mother and a godly grandmother, but we don't know much about his father. He definitely didn't go to a Christian school. He probably didn't have nearly the influence that you have on your life, and yet he was still living for God. And Paul, in his final hour, is leaving his last exhortation to this young man named Timothy. And I want you to see what he tells this teenager. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says this, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Two different times, Paul refers to the analogy, the picture of being a soldier for Jesus Christ. Young people, I have had the privilege of going all around the world, and especially in the United States, and frankly, I want to tell you, there are very few teenage Christians who are standing up and being soldiers for Jesus Christ. And I want to plead with you today that you would start doing something for God, that you would start being a good soldier for Jesus Christ. What does a good soldier look like? Well, there are four characteristics in this passage of Scripture that will help you be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Four marks of a good soldier. First of all, he tells us in verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Number one principle, number one mark of a good soldier is a good soldier is strong. Hey, if you've ever read anything, seen anything, or heard anything about boot camp, basic training, about our soldiers, you have to understand that we are not sending couch potatoes, overweight people, obese people, out-of-shape people over to the battlefield. I'm really glad that they're not rolling onto the battlefield, they're marching on the battlefield. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you go up to an American soldier, I've seen a few of them even here this week, and man, they are stacked. I mean, they got the big pipes, you know, they can do all those push-ups, they can run all their miles, they do all kinds of things to make themselves physically fit, to strengthen their muscles. Why? Because in order to go onto the battlefield and fight against the enemy for America, you got to be strong. Soldiers are strong. And Paul tells Timothy, listen, you cannot fight this war. You cannot win for Jesus Christ. You can't do anything on the battle for Christ, in the battle for Christ, unless you are strong in the Lord. You know what's interesting? He uses, intentionally, he uses a passive verb. What's a passive verb? A passive verb simply means that you are not the one doing the action. All right, it says, be strong in the Lord. My son, be strong. And you know what he's saying? God is the one who strengthens through you. He intentionally tells Timothy, Timothy, it's not enough for you to just work out. It's not enough for you to just exercise the godliness. You must have the power of God on your life. Young person, I want you to be successful. I want you to go out of Spirit Week this week excited for God. And I want you to have an entire year and an entire life that is lived for Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you that you and I do not have the power to accomplish this. It is impossible for you in your own strength to be the kind of soldier that you need to be. God must strengthen you. And he does it by his enabling power. How does God strengthen our life? First of all, through the power of the Word of God. You have a Bible in your hand, you are a special person. I've been to places around this world where they don't even have part of the Bible, of the Word of God. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Jeremiah said, "Is not my word like a fire, and as if it is a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" Psalm 119 verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" You want to have a clean walk? You want to be pure? You want to do something for God? "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." Young people, it's for you. It's for me. It's for every staff member. We can't have the power to do anything for God apart from his word. Jeremiah 15, 16 says, "Thy word was found, and I did eat it. And it became the joy and rejoicing of my soul. Job said, I will esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Hey, listen, if we're going to exercise and get spiritual muscles, we've got to spend time with God. We've got to memorize God's word. We've got to meditate on God's word. And we literally need to master what God says and put God's word to practice in our life, because there is no power other than the power of the word of God. So our strength comes if we're strengthening ourselves for the battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And there is a serious war going on. It is not a cakewalk. It's a war. And if we're ever going to make it, if we're ever going to be strong in the Lord, we must get into the Word of God. But there's a second way that we can be empowered, enabled by God. Not only the Word of God, but the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. Now, listen, when you trust in Jesus Christ, like we talked about earlier, you turn from your sin, your way, you trust in the Savior, and you take the free gift of salvation, who lives inside your body at that very moment? It's the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, and you are not your own, but you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we understand the Bible teaches that when you get saved, when you trust in Christ, you are indwelt by somebody. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And you know why he's in there? He's in there to enable you. He's in there to strengthen you. But here's what we do. We say no to the Holy Spirit. He convicts us, we say no. He tries to help us, we say no. He uses the Word of God to prick our hearts, and we say no. Listen, you'll never ever be a good soldier until you say yes to the Holy Spirit and you submit yourself and surrender your will to the will of the Holy Spirit that is inside of you. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, controlled by the Spirit. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. All right, so we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we have the Holy Spirit. They go hand in hand. Listen, young person, if you want to be a good soldier and you want to do something for God this year in your class, in your school, and for the rest of your life, you better learn very quickly, you don't have the power to accomplish it. You've got to have the power of the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit on your life. Let's just be real honest. There's a reason why we're not doing much for God. And it's because we don't have time for His Word. We're too busy. We don't have time to really walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen, the Bible says, without Him, we can do nothing. Nothing will ever be accomplished in my life or in your life without God's power. Oh, I would love to tell you that, man, if you're talented, you're an athlete, you're a musician, you are intellectually smart. For some of you, that's definitely not true. Maybe you're at 4.0 and you're going to get a scholarship. And man, you got all kinds of gifts. You got all kinds of abilities. I would love to come to you and say, hey, just because you have talent, man, God's going to use you. You know what? I've seen a lot of talented people go their own way and never do anything for God. God does not need my talent. God wants to use my talent. God does not need your intellect. God wants to use your intellect. But if you go your own way and you say, I'm going to power my own life, I'm going to decide for my own life, and you don't get into the Word and you don't let the Spirit of God control your life, you will be a casualty on the battlefield. I've seen it happen. And it'll happen in your life unless you desperately depend upon the power of God. You know what? Paul understood that he needed God. He said, I thank Christ Jesus my Lord who has enabled me. Paul understood it wasn't him. It was God's power flowing through him. He said that Christ is the one that strengthens him. Philippians 4:13. The same terminology that he's telling Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, don't try to do this alone. Trust and depend upon the power of God. Be strong in the Lord. The first mark of a good soldier is a good soldier must be strong. Look down in verse 2 and you'll see the second characteristic of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Remember, we need some soldiers to stand up, to salute a good commander, and to surrender to a great cause that is worth fighting for and dying for. And if that's going to happen, you've got to be strong and strong in the Lord. Verse 2 says this, And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What is the principle that he gives us in verse 2? He's simply telling Timothy, number 2, be serving. Be serving. Where do we get that from here? Well, here's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Timothy, I invested my life into you. I mean, it must have been an incredible opportunity for Timothy to travel with this veteran missionary all around the known world of their day. To go to different places like Thessalonica and Colossae and Ephesus and Galatia and Philippi. And to go to all these places, and literally, Paul trusted Timothy. Paul invested his life into this young man. And now what Paul is telling Timothy is, I'm going to be dead and gone, and I'm going to be in heaven, Timothy. Now, what I did to you, you now need to do with somebody else. Don't be selfish with what I've taught you. Don't hoard it to yourself. You know, it would have been really easy for Timothy to walk into one of those churches and say, listen, I got to travel with Paul. Ha, ha, ha. He taught me all about what I'm... Don't challenge me. I don't have to listen to you. Paul was my mentor. It would have been real easy for him to get arrogant and cocky about the fact that he was the beloved son of one of the greatest apostles ever to walk on this planet. And Paul's trying to help Timothy to see that he needs to be a servant to other people. He needs to take what he's learned and commit it to other people, which will do the same thing later. You know what I think? I think there are a lot of young people in this room that are incredibly selfish. And really, you don't care a whole lot about what happens in anybody else's life except your own. Let me tell you something, that's a terrible way to live. You will never ever experience the true joy and satisfaction of your Christian life until you get your eyes off of yourself and start looking around at people that need your help, people that you could serve. You know what I'm here to tell you? I'm here to tell you, this school would not be here if there were not some people who were servants. Your teachers could be making a whole lot more money other places. They're not here to make money. And all the teachers would say amen to that. They are here because they love you and they are literally wanting to invest themselves into your life. Let me tell you, there are a lot of servants sitting here. A lot of good teachers. A lot of faithful servants. And I'll tell you what, they're not selfish. They're serving. And they're trying to show you an example that whosoever will be great among you must be servant of all. Get your eyes off yourself. Don't be selfish. Be a servant. You know what? Jesus was the perfect example. He left heaven's glory. I mean, if anybody could have come to this earth and said, everybody's going to submit to me, I'm ruling everybody, it would have been Jesus. And yet the King of glory stepped onto this planet, and the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, just like he was in the form of God, he was in the form of a servant. Do you realize that one of the attributes of Jesus Christ, one of the attributes of God by nature, is that he's a servant? What does a servant do? A servant does whatever is necessary to make someone else successful in God's eyes. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time you gave of yourself to help someone else be successful? Number 1, be strong. Number 2, be serving. Look down in verse 3, it says this, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Number 1 is be strong. 4 characteristics, 4 marks of a good soldier. You must be strong. Number 2, you got to be serving. Number 3, be steadfast. Be steadfast. I mean, you cannot look at our military and tell me that there is not some courage with those men and women. I mean, those guys are going right into the battlefield. They're driving their Hummers down the road, and they don't know at any given point in time when something's going to blow up right in the middle of the road. When somebody set a booby trap or somebody is shooting at them, man, the bullets are flying all around them, but they're not backing down. They're not slacking up. As a matter of fact, there are people that actually come home with injuries who are ready to go back to the battlefield. It is worth it to go through trials. It is worth it to go through hardness. And young person, I would love to get up here and tell you that if you surrender to Jesus, everybody in your class is going to love you. But that won't happen. I would love to tell you young men, man, if you start standing up for righteousness and speaking out when some cuss word comes out and some rock music comes out, somebody's watching filth on TV, all kinds of corruption going on in your class, and you stand up and you speak out, I would love to say that all those guys are going to say, yeah, guys, let's get right now. I'm going to tell you something. That will not happen. That will not happen. If you ever plan on serving Jesus Christ in this Christian school or in any time period in your life, the Bible says, all that live godly will suffer persecution. Don't tell me you want to be a good soldier if you don't ever want anybody to laugh at you. Don't tell me you want to be a good soldier if you don't want to have somebody go, hey, man, you must be super spiritual. Oh, what are you, a preacher boy now? I mean, we came through Spirit Week and all of a sudden, whoa, look what happened to you. Hey, if you're not willing to take that, then don't ever plan to hold the banner high for God. If you don't have some thick skin and a tough hide, I'm telling you something, you will be a casualty, you will hold up the white flag, you'll be a traitor to the cause of Christ. Hey, listen, there's a man in the Bible who was the most persecuted man ever to live. What's his name? What's his name? Paul. Paul, everywhere he went, was being persecuted, and I don't think anybody in this room would say he was a failure as a soldier for Christ. Almost everybody in here would say, hey, there's the four-star general. There's the guy that we're following. And he said, follow me as I follow Christ. And obviously Jesus Christ suffered. And you know what he's telling us here? He's saying, listen, if you suffer for Jesus Christ, you're in good company. Because when you suffer, guess who's right there with you? Jesus Christ, and he suffered. Guess who else suffered? Paul. Guess who else suffered? Timothy. Guess who else suffered? Peter. Guess who else suffered? Every Christian that's ever done anything for God. And so when you suffer for Christ, it's a good thing, not a bad thing. So endure. Don't be backing down and shrinking away in fear and being ashamed of what you know is right. You know what? There are some young men in this room, and you know right now I'm talking to you. You're ashamed to speak out. You're ashamed to stand up. It is a tragedy that in most Christian schools today, the young ladies are the leaders. It's a tragedy that we have to wait for a young man, even one young man to stand up and say, hey, I'm not standing for this. This is not right, guys. Hey, we can't go this way. If you're going to go that way, I'm out of here. Guys, I'm telling you something. It is time for you to stand up and take whatever you have to take. Take whatever you have to take. And be steadfast, courageous, endure affliction, endure persecutions. It will come. Paul told Timothy, all that live godly will suffer persecution. Be faithful, be faithful, be faithful, because one day you as a Christian soldier will stand before your commander and you'll get those rewards, the faithful rewards of trials that you've gone through, persecutions that you've gone through, people laughing at you, people mocking at you. And young person, don't back down. Don't be a traitor. Do something for God and be steadfast for the cause of Christ. Be strong, be serving, be steadfast. Number four, and finally, verse 4, it says that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Number 4, be separate. He says, listen, when you enlist into the army, you know right away, before you sign on that line, you already understand that when you join the military, no longer are you a civilian. As a matter of fact, if you see anybody in the military, most of the time, what are they wearing? They're wearing a specific uniform. You know what I'm thankful for? They're not ashamed of it. I see them in all kinds of airports in America, see them in the airports, and we are coming over here, guys that are wearing the sailor uniform, people that are wearing the soldier's uniform, has the American flag on there, has their rank, has their battalion on there, and man, they are not ashamed. They look a little bit different, but I'll tell you something, they can walk into any country in this world, and everybody knows who they serve. Everybody knows it because they've separated themselves from the normal, everyday attire. They've separated themselves from the civilian life, and they are willing to leave in America whatever is not helping them in the war. For some of them, for many of them, they leave their families. Well, for all of them, they leave all their nice cars and their nice houses, and they leave all of that, the stuff that they could take with them. Oh yeah, they've got some technology, but I'm sure they're probably not walking onto the battlefield playing their Sony PlayStation. They're probably not walking onto the battlefield jamming out with the rock music. You know what? They are willing to leave all that behind so they can be successful on the battlefield for Jesus Christ. You know what? There are some young people in this room, and this week God has shown you some areas of your life that you need to separate from. Your foul language, your bad attitude, the disrespect, the fleshly things you've been looking at, the bad dating relationship or terrible friendships. God has shown you a lot of sin that might be in your life, and He's saying, listen, if you want to be a good soldier, you got to separate from them. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Good soldiers are separated from sin and separated from the world. Be strong, be serving, be steadfast, be separate. Four marks of a good soldier. And I would like to say to you what Uncle Sam says to those of us in America. God wants you. He wants you to be a faithful soldier. And what a tragedy it would be that out of Harvest Christian Academy, that we might have five or six young people that serve the Lord. Listen, this should be the place where the army's coming from. This should be the place where we are going out into the highways and the hedges and compelling others to come to the Savior that we know. This should be the place where we have young people saying, I don't care what anybody else does, but I'm willing to die for Jesus Christ because He died for me. This should be the place where we have young people standing up for Christ in their class. Let me tell you something. If you can't stand for Christ in a Christian school, what makes you think you're going to go out into this wicked world and do anything for God? Now's the time to be a good soldier. Be strong. Be serving. Be steadfast. Be separate. And I'm not a military commander, and I'm not the Apostle Paul, but in some sense of the word, I have done my best this week to invest myself. My brother and I have invested our lives into you. We've tried to teach you the truth. And in some sense of the word, many of you will never see us. I hope I'm never beheaded like Paul. But I've given my life to you this week. And you know, you've got to make the choice. Just like Timothy had to make the choice. What was he going to do? And Paul told Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Young people, don't be afraid. God wants to use your life. And God will use your life if you will take up the challenge, hold the banner high, and be a good soldier for Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Four Marks of a Good Soldier by Evangelist Mark Herbster. It was originally presented in a chapel service in September of 2007 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.